This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
And now we are joined.
Wait.
What?
I'd like to do this the right way.
Okay.
This is our guy right here, okay? Mm-hmm. We talk to him every single Thursday at 4 o'clock, and today especially at the Beach Bash. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up to a man who deserves the love and respect that he's earned with this franchise, not just as a player, but also as a manager the last few seasons for the number one best team in Major League Baseball, your manager, Aaron Boone!
Well, Aaron, I didn't know that you signed Peter as your hype man, but how you doing?
Welcome aboard, Aaron.
Thank you, Peter. And Don, who's the special guest today? Is that Michael?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's why I love this guy.
Who's writing your stuff, Aaron? That's great. That's really great. It's time for the Aaron Boone Report on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by 19 Crimes Wine. You just missed me in Houston yesterday. That's it. Right?
That's right. That's right. I miss you on these late flights. You got to, you know. I understand. You're a smart man. You pick your spots.
You know what? He does give me a look. Like at 5 in the morning, he just says, look at this pathetic slide. He doesn't say it out loud. But
wait, what do you mean, on the plane?
Yeah, like when we're going into the hotel and, you know, I look like, you know, 79 years old. And he just gives me that look like I'm pathetic. But he doesn't say it because he's kind.
Do you guys, real quick, Aaron, do you and Michael ever talk on the plane?
Oh my. No, God. He's in the good spot.
No.
Not logistically possible.
It's physically, you could text each other.
No, you can't be further away than the two of us. I'm in the last row, and he's in the first row. Yes.
I think I did text him once on the plane.
Peter, traveling with a team, because I go through with the Rangers, if it was feasible to have like a U-Haul type plane behind the actual plane, they would use that.
That's where the media is.
Yeah, it would be me, John, Susan, right. And whoever. Yeah. So, you finished 5 games with the Astros, Aaron. They take 3 of 5. You have 2 scintillatingly exciting wins, last second, you know, last at bats. What's your take on them and how you guys play them? And is that something that you say, okay, we're probably going to see them again in October? You do have a doubleheader coming up with them as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always careful to say, you know, oh, we'll see them again. I mean, look, they're as good a team as we've played. You know, they can really pitch. Obviously, they've got, you know, star power from some of their position players, and they're just a really complete team. So you kind of want to, you know, I always feel like you got to be at your best to win major league games, but certainly when you're playing Houston, you know, you got to be at your best because they are very well-rounded, can beat you in a lot of different ways, like I think we can, and certainly would not be surprised to see them down the road, hopefully if we're in that position, but that's a long way to go. As of now, my evaluation of them is just, obviously they're a very, very formidable team.
No, glass half full, glass half empty. We talked about this on the show with the 23 come-from-behind victories. Is that a glass half full? Look how good we are. We're never out of a game. We can get to other teams' bullpens. Or do you look at it glass half empty and say, I wish we didn't have to come from behind so often?
I don't know. I mean, I think when you have the amount of wins we have, to have that number is kind of nice. And I think it you know, we like to think we're well-rounded too. And I think part of the reason we've been able to come back is because the depth of our pitching this year. You know, our pitching, you know, more often than not is going to keep us in the game, even if we do fall behind. And even, you know, if we're tapping into our depth in our bullpen, we still feel like they give us a good chance in a game where we're chasing, where we're staying away from, you know, some of our bigger guys in the pen. We still have guys that can come in there, and they've done a great job of holding the line and keeping us in some games where we've had a chance to eventually mount a rally, and we feel like with our offense and our personnel, we're able to hang in there as long as our pitching keeps us there, and they've done that, you know, first and foremost. You know, our pitching's been there for us all year.
Aaron, one of the knocks, the very few knocks on Aaron Judge before this season was, oh, he doesn't have a lot of walk-offs. Is this a clutch guy? Now it seems like he's walking off every other day. Is there anything different about Aaron this year?
I don't know. I mean, I think he's with experience, and with his – I think his baseball IQ and intelligence. Like, he's grown from his experiences, and you know, that's another one of those hallmarks, I think, of being a great player is, you know, obviously you got to have the talent and stuff, and you got to work, but I think the ability to learn from all your experience, have that aptitude to apply that as you continue to evolve through your career. He's done a great job of that. You know, I think the walk-off things are more a product of just sometimes opportunity happening, and, you know, sometimes the best players don't always have the most walk-offs because, you know, they're the other team's trying to not let that guy beat them in big situations. You know, I had a number of walk-offs in my career, but probably because they were going right after me, you know, so that's part of it too.
Now, you know me for a long time. I really don't have much of a heart, but I'm feeling a little sorry for Joey Gallo. It's hard to watch him struggle like this. He's trying, I know that, and today you're playing a righty. He's not in the lineup. What's your thought process? Why is he not playing today?
Well, I want to have Savali's a reverse split guy, so I want to have our righties in there. So, you know, anytime I do that, then I'm talking about DH in one of our infielders. So today, DJ's DH, and so I have all our, you know, Donaldson, Torres, DJ, Rizzo, and IKF in there in the infield in the DH spot, and then that, you know, allows me to put G in the outfield. So I got G and Judge out there, and then, you know, Hicks was down yesterday, so getting him back in there today, you know, and just, you know, it has been tough, and certainly Joey's, you know, wearing it, and you know, I think it's been a burden on him, so just trying to continue to pick spots where hopefully he can, you know, get a little spark going, and hopefully that can breed to some confidence.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not quite sure. I certainly can't see it. You see a game much deeper than I do. Is it mechanical, Aaron, or has it now become a mental thing where, you know, 0 for 26 is a long stretch?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think he's worked hard and seen progress, like behind the scenes, and some adjustments he's trying to make. But then, you know, part of this whole thing is being able to go out there and kind of calm everything down, slow everything down, and apply that in the game. And when you're struggling, and you know you're the focal point of struggles, and you get the ire of people and questions all the time, and you really do care, you know, sometimes it's hard to, you know, kind of get through that. And I think it's a little bit of a combination of trying to make some adjustments that hopefully he can apply, but then also getting through that mental hurdle of knowing you're struggling, and you know, and ultimately going up there and trying to make the best swing decisions you can. And that's always something that's been a little bit of a calling card for him, and just not been as strong through this stretch. And, you know, it's partly, I think, certainly a mental thing.
And I'm assuming it's the same in everyday life, that everybody's got a theory. Like, so when you're a ball player struggling, I'm sure you're getting inundated with suggestions. How difficult is it to narrow down what's wrong when you're hearing so much outside noise and so many different opinions on what's wrong with you?
Yeah, it is. And then you got the, you know, you're in the highest league in the land, and you got the best pitchers in the world that are really good at you know, attacking you and attacking holes and taking advantage of certain things. So you kind of got to be at your best, but you know, you got to get to that point to where you just free up your mind. And I've been there a couple times in my career where I had an extended period where I really, really struggled. And you know, for me, you know, I feel like a couple of times when I went through that for a couple month stretch is, you know, you get to a place where you just kind of free up mentally and like, hey, I'm going to come work my butt off, be prepared, be ready for whatever, try to be the best teammate I can be and get to a point of where I go out between the lines and get to that point where it's almost as if you don't care about the results. You know, I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to work. But when I go, it's 7 o'clock, it's time to play. I'm just going to go play. And it's one thing to say that. It's one thing to you know, acknowledge that I want to get to that place. It's another thing to be able to get there. And I feel like there are a couple times in my career where I was able to finally get to that point, and it was really helpful.
Now, the other day, Judgy, as you call him, was...
You mean called, Aaron.
Aaron, that's right. Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
He was called for another classic low strike like he's been getting all season long, and you did what a good manager does, and you got out there and defended your guy and got kicked out of the game. Do you, when you're screaming at the umps in that situation, are you trying to make any cogent points, or are you just simply saying, I'm going to get kicked out, I'm going to show him I'm protecting him, I'm going to scream my head off?
Oh, man. I don't know. I like to think I'm a little more in control than maybe my outward emotions are showing. So I will try to make some points. I will try to be very clear and hopefully concise in what I want to say.
You're clear. I think you're clear.
Yeah, but there's times that I've gone out there or I've gotten kicked out and I've thought, man, I wish I would have said this to him also. I wanted to get this in. But for the most part, I'm just trying to certainly make a point and let them know that I'm not happy with what's going on and I, you know, need them to want them to feel that.
Now, right. Every time you get thrown out, though, you get fined. So when you come home, does your wife go, hey, what are you doing, man?
No, she doesn't. She really doesn't say much to me about it. I told you my daughter is the only one that kind of she gets into it a little bit.
Like, is your wife aware that there is a, is she aware that there is a fine?
Yeah, she's probably aware. She's probably aware.
Probably aware. Very interesting husband response. She's probably
aware. There's a fine.
My oldest's goal is to be at a game when I do get kicked out. Like, he wants to see that. So he does say, man, I want to be there when it happens.
Now, you said you want to get your point across. How much of it is venting, and how much of it is it strategic, hoping that next time the call may go your way?
I don't know that it's strategic when I go out there. You know, if I've gotten to the point to where I'm thrown out, then there's probably a few things that have happened that I just think have hurt us as a club in that game, and I'm, you know, and I am not happy, and I absolutely want them to know. You know, there's times, you know, maybe in the course of a season or the course of a game where there's a pitch here and there where, you know, maybe there's a little strategy to it from the bench, you know, or you want to make them aware of it or whatever. But when I've gone out there and I'm getting tossed, usually I'm pretty hot about something.
Is there any part of you as a baseball lifer, as the son of a ball player?
And grandson
of a ball player, third generation, that is also just tickled about getting to go out there and kind of be a part of this time-honored tradition of being a major league manager screaming at an umpire?
Not really, because in the moment I'm usually pretty steamed. So I'm a little bit on the attack at that point. So
you're not appreciating the moment right then, sure.
I don't appreciate it in that light, no.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right. Josh Donaldson, when you look at his splits, and you said Savali is a reverse split guy, but when you look at against righty, he's not hit well lately. Have you given any thought to giving some of those third base at bats to Carpenter? Because Carpenter has been so good for you, and it really is difficult for you to find him at bats. I mean, he does come off the bench and pinch hit in big moments, but is there any thought to give him a little run against some righties?
Not really. Not at the cost of Donaldson. You know, I actually even had a conversation with Carp today. Like, you know, there's been probably two or three times here over the last week or 10 days where we were going to start him, but you know, something came up that, you know, I kind of changed on it. And, you know, that's been tough because I want to get him more playing time. And I told him as much, and I told him he deserves more playing time. And I know there's going to be a stretch at some point in the season when we got to lean on him again, or he's going to be in there and he's going to get more opportunities. But not right now at the expense of Donaldson. Like, Donaldson's going to get his days every now and then here and there. But I do feel like Donaldson is, you know, I know he hasn't popped yet, but I do feel like he's not far off. And everything underlying with him would suggest that he's really close. And I do feel like he's going to have one of those months or one of those 2-3 weeks where he goes off and kind of carries us, coupled with the fact that he hasn't just been good at third, he's been great at third. Mm-hmm. He and DJ defensively at third have been, you know, I don't know. I know Matt Chapman's great in Toronto, but the combination of DJ and Donaldson at third have been really special for us. And with Donaldson, I do feel like everything's there to suggest he's going to go into a mode of being the hitter he's been for his career. And we just haven't quite seen it in that long stretch yet.
All right, so you activate Chapman today, right? Two-part question. Mm-hmm. Who came off the roster for him? And do you want to ease him in slowly, or could we see him today in a really tight spot?
So Miguel Castro is on the paternity list. His wife had a baby yesterday or the night before in the DR. So he won't be here this weekend. So Chapman takes his place. We expect hopefully to have him back. Well, we have the off day on Monday in Pittsburgh, and hopefully have him back in that first game in Pittsburgh. Chapman, we'll just try and get him in where, you know, it could be lower leverage, it could be medium leverage, or the game just could put us in a situation where it is a high leverage situation. So we'll try to get him into a spot that we think he can be successful and kind of start to get in a rhythm and try and create regular opportunities for him so he can kind of get rolling. But what exactly that situation is, I don't know, but it could be even a lower leverage situation at the start.
You know, he said, and we're talking about Aaron Boone, the Yankee manager, he has said all the right things. I mean, really, it couldn't be scripted any better. But as you're making these decisions moving forward, do you have to put into your mind ego, pride, stuff like that? Are you managing all of that, Aaron?
You mean with Aroldis?
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll certainly, you know, talk with him and communicate with him. The bottom line is he's an outstanding teammate and he wants to win, and you know, he certainly understands the situation and some of the guys that have merged in our bullpen. So you know, we'll communicate as best we can with him and hope to get him, you know, rolling to a point where we know what he's capable of doing and can be a huge part of this thing moving forward. So we'll certainly let him know that, and he's earned that respect to get those conversations, but I don't expect it to be any issue.
What challenges do the Guardians present this weekend?
They're good. They're athletic. They run the bases. They're balanced in their lineup. You know, they've obviously got a superstar in Jose Ramirez as a switch hitter in the middle. Naylor's having a really good year for him. Quan and Rosario at the top are playing really, really well. Jimenez is having kind of an all-star season for them at second base. So they've got a number of guys that have are having really good years and put them in a position right now to where they're certainly right in the middle of the central race. They got an outstanding closer in Class A. They got some really good bullpen arms down there. So they're playing well. We played well against them when they came to us, a month or so ago. But this is a good team. It's a lot of guys that are getting their first opportunities or guys that have really emerged or kind of come into their own this year. So they're playing well, and, you know, it's another team we gotta come out and play well against if we're going to win.
All right, this is out of left field, but I've thought about this a long time. When you go to bed at night, do you ever dream about hitting a home run in 2003?
No.
Never?
I don't think so, no.
Do you daydream about it sometimes?
No.
Come on, it's like one of the great moments of baseball history.
He's pulling your leg.
You think he does?
I know.
Yeah, he has to. I hit a game-winning home run in my charity softball game last year. I dream about it.
Yeah. You know what? We lost the World Series.
That's the Yankee answer.
That's a great answer.
That's why people love it.
I appreciate the moment, and I love the video of it. Like, if it's on, I stop and I drink it in, and I certainly appreciate more over time. You know, the years after, right after when it happened, you know, especially when I went to other teams, I would almost, in a way, try and distance myself from it. But over time, I've certainly come to appreciate it and appreciate the amount of stories that I've heard from people that were there or have, you know, whatever their experience around it was. It's one of those sports moments I know that I've had watching sports where you kind of remember where you were and people have real intimate stories about it, and I find that pretty cool.
All right, so I'm just wondering, though, you're sitting in your house, you're talking with your kids, right? And Yes is on in the background. And, you know, sometimes we run it as, like, not a commercial, but a promo. And you're talking with your kids, and all of a sudden the promo comes out, Wakefield's about to deliver, you go, shh, let's watch this.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
See, there we go. Have a great weekend in Cleveland, yes. Aaron.
All right, enjoy the shore, guys.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.